Hare Krishna. I don't have a marker where I am. I'm going to start in verse 80. If I did that before, or I skipped the verse, I'll get back to it. If I did this one before, then we'll hear it twice. Reading from Ardha Bhakti Sutra, text 80. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sakirtyamana Shibham Eva Vir Bhavati Anu Bhavyati Bhaktan. When he is glorified, the Lord swiftly reveals himself to his devotees and allows them to know him as he is. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Narada attained direct perception of Lord Krishna. After Narada heard about Krishna from the sages who were visiting his house, he continued living with his mother since he was only a five-year-old boy. When his mother suddenly died and Narada took to wander. But his mother suddenly died and Narada took to wandering. Once, as he sat under a banyan tree and began to meditate upon the super soul, the Lord appeared to him. Narada relates, "As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of God with my mind, transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart." Bhagavatam 1.6.16. After this initial darshan, the Supreme Lord withdrew himself in his personal form, but spoke to Narada. "O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person. And this is just to increase your desire for me, because the more you hanker for me, the more you'll be freed from all material desires." Bhagavatam 1.6.22. The Supreme Lord further told Narada that he would eventually, quote, "become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material world," end quote. So Narada's life is a personal testimony to his own instruction given in this sutra. Narada went on to become one of the 12 authorities on Krishna consciousness known as Mahajanas, and he is the spiritual master of such stalwarts as Prahlad, Dhruva, and Vyas. Narada once came to Vyas a day when Vyas was feeling despondent, even after having compiled most of the Vedic scriptures. Narada quickly diagnosed his disciple's depression and spoke to him, quote, "You've not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Please therefore describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, more vividly." Bhagavatam 1.5.8.21. Vyasa took Narada's instructions to heart and began composing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is filled with the glories of Lord Krishna in his many incarnations, as well as narration to the Lord's pure devotees. Vyasa later expressed his profound gratitude by glorifying Sri Narada in various verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho devarshe dhanyayam yat kirtam sharanga dandvita dandana. All glories and success to Sri Narada Muni because he glorified the activities of the personality of Godhead. And in doing so, he himself takes pleasure and also enlightens all distressed souls of the universe. Bhagavatam 1.6.38. Omigana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksu Rangalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha
Kripa Sindhu Bhaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Excuse me. So, greetings from Vrindavan. Still, you know, the way Vrindavan is now, different people came. And I have arrangements to take care of them so that they can experience the Dham. Shaibya and Kishori Radha were here. And I just arranged to take them out to the forest and have lunch at the hermitage of a Brijbasi flower wala as they learn to make the Brijbasi rotis. And I went a couple of days ago to having a kirtan and japa retreat at Barsana. And it's looks about 300-400 devotees, I don't know. And not less than 200 for sure. And they had their 12-hour kirtan. And as far as my experience it has been, Barsana is the most untouched place in all of Braja. The way it's situated, kind of, at the end of Brahma Parvat, Lord Brahma manifest as a mountain, it doesn't seem there's any thoroughfare. It's like the whole, well, at least the forest of Garhavan where the kirtan was, and Mankutir and Morkutir, two of the peaks of Lord Brahma, and the beautiful Garhavan forest, and Radha Sarovara, or Krishna Kund, they call it two names. When you look out from Mankutir, you can see Ramesh Baba's Goshala in the distance of 20,000 cows. And you can see the Padaduli, the dust, as an ocean of milk cows are walking in the pasturing grounds and through the forest. And you see the Padaduli, that's the dust of Vrindavan, which reminds you of the residents of Vrindavan who are anxiously waiting for Krishna to return home from the forest in such a deep mood of separation, born of the supreme attachment, because it's an attachment that is an expression of Krishna's own energy of pleasure and love. Our attachments generally happen on the mental plane. They're not integral with our soul. Therefore, they change as the mind, which is material, changes. And they're superficial. They don't really hit the core of that heart unless somehow you connect those attachments to Krishna. So you can imagine how the gopis felt, the amount of love and the amount of separation they felt from Krishna, burning at their souls, crying at their souls. And in anticipation, waiting every day from Krishna to return it before sunset. And then the first thing they see is the Padaduli, the dust of it. So I actually, when I saw that Padaduli, when I saw the clouds of dust from a herd of 20,000 cows. I thought of that. And it's nice. And at that kirtan, I saw so many people that I knew. I saw Shyam Kumari, formerly known as Sneha, coming for some, and she was so enlivened. And my assistant, Leela Balasini, who's amazing. I mean, the way she imbibed the Braj culture and almost lives that and then and speaks that is amazing. So I had her take, during the kirtan, take Shyam Kumari and her friends up to Morkutir. Krishna had the peacock dance, and they appreciated so much the katha. And then the previous day, when I was with Bryn from Yoga Maya and Joy and Leela Balasini and my goddaughter Arjuna, in Morkutir, which is a hill, as you go up the hill, there's a little ashram on the side of the hill. Look through a little door. There's only like three or four Babaji's living there. And it is amazing. I mean, you could see out the whole Barsana. And you know, there's such a place has a mood. New York has a mood. New Jersey has a mood. Every place has a mood. It's based on, in the Dom, it's based on the people that are there and the ontological state of that place, and it's just so sweet. The people are just so nice. Sometimes when you come to Vrindavan, you can become overwhelmed. People don't seem so spiritual, but here, the people have lived with such a pristine, untouched existence. Growing up in the mood, so this one Baba who actually I found out was born there, he's so kind to us, and we called ahead and he made us, they're very poor, he made us this simple lunch of just yellow rice and dal and some aged pickles and found some sweets someplace and was so happy to serve. And then he has a, they worship footprints of Yugala Kishore, Radha and Krishna. There's a very intimate pastime in painting where Radha and Krishna are entangled, so it looks as their body is one, and each has one foot on the ground. And in a stone, I don't know where the stone is, the footprints are there. And even Bryn was saying, usually you have to imagine, but these even had the, each individual toe mark was indented. So we got darshan of that, and so it's been very beautiful, and I've resumed, which is also one of my favorite activities, giving my classes every day and seeing the people that have that affinity. Just like on the Sangha, there are members that listen all the time, and I've developed that kind of affectionate relationship with people who hear regularly, very deep. And same thing in there, there's people that like to hear. I'm in different places now. People don't even know where to find me. And so we're discussing things. Now, this verse is Narada Bhakti Sutras, and what's mentioned in the purport, which is very interesting by His Holiness Satsarup Maharaj, that this is a culmination of, we only have a couple of more verses, and then I think we start Upadeshamrita. It's very, very interesting because Narada is speaking from conviction. And of course, you really want to hear from people that are practicing. Because without practice, you can't realize the philosophy. And without service, you can't get rid of anarthas. Unless you put the philosophy into practice, you won't see what your faults are. And you won't have the basis for any other realization, because spiritual realization comes from the platform of Sharanagata, or surrender. When you surrender, everything becomes spiritualized. I was speaking about this before, why the necessity for guru. Because one has to put oneself to surrender to Krishna, and one has to change the identity of ego. I've been reading this recently, and it's really struck me that spiritual life, you know, doesn't mean you give up ego or identity. Bhakti means you change identity. And you change identity to I. From I am the enjoyer to I am the servant. And unless you make that shift, there'll be nothing spiritual of anything you do. Even if you're thinking of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, you'll think of them in terms of your ego, your false ego, as enjoyer. This is what Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta taught, that you have to come to that position of change of identity. I'm servant of Guru and Krishna. You have to come to that condition of change of identity. And if you don't, otherwise, what you will do will be appropriated for your own enjoyment. And that's why Bhakti Siddhanta wrote that poem. I forgot it was Prakrita Shuddha. It was something against Sahajiya consciousness, calling it Prakrita Sahajiya, material, Prakrita Bhakti, material devotees. Because if you enter into Radha and Krishna's pastimes, enter into them, absorb yourself in them, hear them, think of them 24 hours a day, but from the position of servant. But if you enter them from the position of enjoyer, I'm an enjoyer, then it's all material sentiments, not spiritualized. There's one big, big guru in India. I don't want to mention names, but... And he's in the Vaishnav line. And he has a Shastra city. He knows Shastra. He composes Shastra. Karmically, I mean, when I saw pictures of him young, he was tall, he was handsome, he was learned, he was the most learned. But he never took guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, took guru. Lord Krishna is God, studied at the house of Sandipani. He never took guru. So then the question arises, is all his learning and rasa katha, is it born from service or is it born from ego? Because it'll have the same form, but it'll have a different effect when you hear it. And he was accused of some scandal with women. His followers say it's all politics, but I was just thinking with Prabhupada there wasn't a trace of scandal. Because he was so firmly fixed in the platform of identity as the servant of his spiritual master. And that's the basis of Braja Bhakti, the platform of service. And then the service becomes intimate as you have that aspiration. Anyway, Narada is speaking now about his personal realization about
about bhakti, how avirbhav, anubhav, what appears, and not only appears, but anubhavi of realization. Shigra, quickly. For one who is doing kirtan. Kirtyamana, quickly. And shot, when he's glorified. He's glorified. Krishna appears for one in that consciousness, I am the servant, because God is meant to be served. If you are not in that consciousness, God does not appear no matter what you do. I am to be served. Then God comes because he's the absolute truth. The absolute truth is meant to be served. So the best way to put oneself in that consciousness is to be in a position of prayer and glorification. Prayer and glorification is an expression of the soul, of service, and it moves one to that platform of service. And one who is always glorifying God realizes that he's God's servant. And as God's name is absolute, by attentively hearing his name, we begin to avirbhav, anubhav. We begin to see God. We begin to realize God. And seeing God and realizing God is realizing ourselves. Like when you see the sun, you see yourself. When you see and understand God, you cannot help but want to serve him and embrace and be happy with the position of servant. I've always mentioned that too, or recently mentioning that. We can't, because we don't realize God, we don't see God. It's hard for us to imagine, but even intellectually, what that feeling is, but intellectually we can understand. What is God? The omnipotent, omniscient, loving, all-pervading, and the eternal reality, which everything is part of. And unless you do your part, you are not in reality. You're an illusion. So what kirtan is searching for the soul within your heart. And the symptom of that soul is the desire to love and serve God. Kirtan means to search that in the heart. Search that in the heart. And then express it, which enhances it. That's what kirtan is. It's an expression of the soul, which puts one in the position of the soul, which one makes one happy to be the soul. And as long as you're glorifying God,
you stay in that position. And the more you stay in that position, the more you realize God. The more you can see God. And the more God wants to reveal himself to you. And he's quickly revealed. He's quickly revealed. Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita Satatam Kirtiyantam Mam Yatantas Chat. No. Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tvam Yena Mamukim. If one who worships me with faith and devotion, Tadami Buddhi, I give them the knowledge by which they can understand me. And then Narada gives his personal realization of this. He's a young boy. He's got good association, which gives bhakti within the heart, a desire to be a devotee, the faith that this is the highest thing, the endeavor which we should move towards the most strongly, because you see it so visibly in the character and life of the devotee that this is the life of glory. That this is the life of the soul. You see this so clearly. That's how bhakti develops. The instructions are there to always worship Krishna. But how does that realization come? Sushrushro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Syat Mahat Sevana Vipra Punya Tirtu. When you associate with the devotees, that's wonderful. Best name. The real devotees. Because you'll get to see the glory of service to Krishna. And if you've developed the bhakti sukriti to appreciate that to any degree, that example and association will inspire you so much. Even I saw that when I went to the kirtan retreat for the japa. Visualizing, it's just so beautiful. It's the most beautiful place I've ever seen to do kirtan, ideally. So, just when I went to that place, and I walked in, and I guess Barahari was chanting kirtan. So many good kirtaniers. And I looked at him, and then I looked at Satchinandana Swami just dancing enthusiastically. I saw Borijan sitting in the audience, just peaceful and quiet and absorbed. And then Indradumna Swami came and led a kirtan. Just immediately, I just felt, I want to become like them. Of course, Prabhupada said, be advanced by appreciation. I often quote Voltaire, that which we appreciate gradually belongs to us. I often quote His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaj, that in bhakti we advance by mercy. Mercy comes from the great souls.
And the conduits of that mercy is our appreciation and glorification of them. Conduit means a channel, but a channel, the conduit only works if it's flowing down. So the conduit for mercy is only works if we put ourselves in a humble position. And being in a humble position means liking God's glory and liking our position of servant. And that only happens when we do it. So worship and glorification puts us in that mood, that humble mood. And then Krishna appears. He quickly appears. He wants to appear. If we want him to appear. He wants to appear if we want him to appear. Nityo, 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 nityanam, chaitanas, chaitananam, eko bahuda, yo, vididati, kama. There is one Supreme Eternal, there's one Supreme Living Force, there's many Eternals, there's many Living Forces, and the One is serving the many, according to their desire. So unless you desire the position I am servant, God won't appear. Or another way is, when you do desire to be the servant of God, then God appears. And if you don't desire to be the servant of God, then God disappears from our consciousness. So here, this is the verse about Kirtan, bhakti. I read again, I love that those three words. In one purport, Krishna is responsive. We're reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the devotees were so amazed at the glories of Srila Rupa Goswami. They were so astounded by his poetic abilities, which not only displayed the maximum ability of wordcraft, but had the most intimate realizations about God to express through that wordcraft. And because he was humble and put himself as an instrument of God, God could use his abilities to serve him to the maximum degree. We all have a certain ability, but that ability is only used perfectly when we allow God to work through us. And then so many wonderful things come which extend our abilities. And if it's not just a karmic craft, but that may be limited by our prarabdha karma. I mean, if you're 5 feet, you can't be a professional basketball player no matter how well you chant. I mean, you can be the best 5 foot basketball player, but you can't be, no matter what you do. But if it's just a term of inspiration, God can inspire one in so many ways. So Rupa Goswami, when they saw the level of his ability and the degree in which God is using it, because of the degree that Rupa Goswami won the heart of God by his humble mood of service, The devotees concluded, the poetry and realizations that you're expressing can only manifest through the mercy of God. And they turned to Lord Chaitanya and says, this must be your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, he pleased me by his qualities. And the purport said, Krishna is responsive. And that's why in bhakti, it's not so much about what we have that attracts Krishna. It's how dependent we are on him. And a lot of times our independent karmic quality, our karmic qualities may make us independent of God. Not the case in a great soul. They can have, as Lord Chaitanya was describing, Sanatana Goswami, because he said, oh, you Ramananda Roy, that's Rupa, but you should see his brother. Renunciation, knowledge, and humility are there in one person. It's so fixed in that mood of serving Lord Chaitanya. That none of their qualities get appropriated for enjoyment. Because as soon as your qualities become appropriated from enjoyment, you're no longer humble. Stay at the platform of humility. So Narada had deep realization of this. Because with love, he meditated and Krishna quickly appeared. Okay, are there any questions? Someone please say hello.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Gandhi, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. just now you were saying that with our prarabdha karma, you were saying how Krishna will use a devotee who wants to use his qualities in Krishna's service, where he will somehow maximize his qualities or something. But if your prarabdha karma, that's not going to change. So when Krishna, I don't know, maximizes your qualities, then what does change? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm just saying, let's say you have, give an example, let's say you have an ability to paint, right? You're an artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you surrender to Krishna, then what happens is he can empower you to deeply realize him and to express him in such beautiful ways. I was thinking of Jadarani. When she came, she really, the paintings in the initial days were childish. But they began to use them for Krishna, and very wonderful things came. So God uses your abilities to the fullest. Or a good example is speaking. you know, you're using your speaking in God's service, and he allows you to express yourself in very wonderful ways.
But still, when you mentioned the prarabdha karma,
I'm saying is that there, you know, we have a certain karma. So people have certain abilities. It's not that someone who doesn't have any musical ability all of a sudden becomes the best musician.
Okay.
Like Bhakti Siddhanta was a pure devotee, but you know, maybe his kirtans weren't like Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm. Or
okay, I was going to mention Kinchana's father, Miklos Gaffney. His father was a great singer. Yeah. Okay, Gail?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, would anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajrade.
Hare Krishna Brajrade. Okay, I'll be back. I was just thinking the other day, when I come back, we'll have to do a program there for sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello? And we're not every place kind of mutes and unmutes their phone in the same way. Hare Krishna, anybody else? One second, I'm going to unmute everyone. Hare Krishna, anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello? I've unmuted all the phones. One more person? Okay, then we can go now.